you have a couple of issues. First of all, you got like bored with that trip, even though we never even took it. Like you were like, oh, that's so old news or something. Like, you know,
you make me sound like a squirrel. It just like, gets bored really like
you
quickly.
Were like, you are a squirrel. Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. We are wrapping up our fall season with the last two episodes before we take the month of January off from podcasting. And Stephanie, you look like you need a vacation. And I think I do too.
I've needed a vacation.
Since 1998.
I need one. I'm taking one.
We are taking one.
A week and a half. I have off.
Yeah, I think for a week I'm not going to work too. And we're taking the month of January off from podcasting from the second year in a row. We'll come back fresh in February. So for our two last episodes of the season, we wanted to look ahead on one of them and look back on another one. So on this episode, we're looking ahead because Stephanie and I just planned our 2021 trip to Yellowstone National Park and Grand Teton National Park, Lord willing.
Yeah, it was hard to get inspired to trip plan when you feel like you've canceled so many trips over the last year. You don't know what things are going to be like. It was kind of hard to dig deep. But I want to say before we dive into our own personal experience, can we just like give some like tips to people? Because like I feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't really understand what they're going to come up against in the next year with trip planning.
Well, so we're planning, yeah, we just planned our Yellowstone trip in November, like over the course of November, and we finally made reservations early December. And we had some trouble getting reservations. It wasn't easy peasy.
Right. Which we were like, we knew that we were running late. So if you are one of those new RVers out there that's joined the ranks in the last 8 months, first of all, welcome. We're happy to have you. But it is normally a surprise to new RVers how early they have to plan their trips, right? They buy their RV maybe in the spring and they're like, oh, this is so exciting. Give me some of your top campgrounds. And they're all booked and they can't believe it because a lot of time hotels and resorts don't really work that way. So you really have to get used to like the camping calendar, you know, and that is that you oftentimes book your campground reservations up to a year in advance for the most popular places.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the keys is for the most popular locations, because it's been a real crapshoot. Like we just booked our 4th of July trip to Camp Hatteras. And I thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to get a good site at Camp Hatteras for the 4th of July. They had a lot of good sites.
Yeah.
But I think if you're looking at like going to Yellowstone over the 4th of July or Great Smoky Mountains National Park or some really popular destination, you're going to have some trouble. So it's hit or miss right now is what I'm saying.
You would normally want to be focused, like I would say, really early fall on thinking about what you're going to do for the next year. This year, you might come into more trouble because what a lot of people did was they just rolled over their reservations from last year. So like, for example, we had an entire trip planned to the Grand Canyon and looping Utah, right? The Mighty Five. And we just canceled all of those reservations. But what a lot of people did was they just pushed them to the next year. I know multiple people that had each campground just basically change it from 2020 to 2021. So I just have to tell everybody out there, normally it can be challenging to get popular
RV spots.
This year,
it's going to be crazy.
I actually think it's going to be more challenging this year.
I have a theory, too, that a lot of the new RV owners are coming in saying, let's go to Glacier. Let's go to Yosemite. Let's go to these bucket list destinations. So if you're having trouble booking sites, you might want to look off the beaten track a little.
It's a good time to explore the lesser known national parks, maybe the really kind of underrated state park systems. That might be a good idea. And then also what might be a good idea, I was just talking about this to somebody, so I'm going to throw it out there. I bought trip insurance this year for the first time ever. And I think that I'm looking to do that with most of our trip planning this year, depending on what like the cancellation terms are for the different things we do. It's not actually that expensive.
Give me a ballpark for like a 7-day trip. Even if you're not perfectly accurate, like what is it going to cost somebody to get a 7-day trip insured?
Yeah, for a trip that we booked that we just had to put out a lot of money for, and the cancellation policy is not good for that. I paid like just under $100.
And that had airfare involved.
Right, yeah. For a really good comprehensive policy. I don't know a lot about trip insurance, but I know what you're supposed to look for in the fine print in terms of like what could be a cancellation. And you have to look specifically for things that could be cancellations like health related, so that if you are exposed or you have COVID or whatever, you can cancel for that reason.
Okay, so let's talk about this trip to Yellowstone National Park that we just set up and that we're really excited about for the end of summer. So Stephanie, why have we chosen the end of the summer to do this kind of bucket list trip? And why have we done it in a sort of non-traditional way? We're not taking our own RV again, but that's what's been working for us for these late August trips.
Well, so we are in a different situation than a lot of people in this country because our kids go back to school after Labor Day weekend, and a lot of kids go back earlier in August. So we found that at the end of August, you can still kind of get the nice summery weather at a lot of these places, but you don't get the crowds so much. A lot of the crowds, I mean, let's face it, they're not empty, right? Glacier wasn't empty when we were going.
But it was manageable.
But it isn't that overwhelming crush that you can get when you go to a popular national park during the peak times, which we have done. We've been in the Smokies during peak time. We've been in Acadia National Park during peak time. So we know what the crush is like, and this kind of alleviates some of that.
But I think it really does, because we did Mount Rushmore at the end of the summer, and it really wasn't that crowded. And then we did Glacier at the very end of the summer, right before Labor Day. And let me give you an example. We got parking for the Avalanche Lake hike. That's really hard to do. If we had been there in July, I think we might have really, really struggled to get parking for a hike like that. So little things open up when you go right before Labor Day, because most of the kids in the country are back in school. Now, also, we only have about 12 days for this Yellowstone trip. 12 days is not enough to take our own RV to Yellowstone, but we want to go to Yellowstone with the boys, and we want to go now.
Yeah, I also think that there's something about this. I've said this before, so, you know, I don't know about repeating myself so much about this, but I don't believe, I know that some people are very like, you know, like almost like religious about their RV. Like, we definitely figured out that we love traveling by RV. Like, it is so much more comfortable, and we actually miss it when we go on some of these longer trips, like especially in the food department, right? We end up really missing just being able to prepare, you know, breakfast, lunch, have our own food, that kind of a thing. But that's not worth me having to drive in a car for 20 hours straight with my kids. Like, I don't like that part of RVing per se. Like, I like it if we can take our time and like stop at a bunch of different places. But to drive days and days just to jet out to Glacier and then drive days and days home, I'm just burning time. I know that there's lots of great things
burning
to see
along
the way.
Burning a lot of fuel, too.
Yeah, it's so, not cheaper. It's not. When you calculate all of the gas and the stops along the way overnight that you have to pay for and everything, and all of the food, the added food, because you've added days and days of travel. Like, I just hit a point where I said, if it's more than, like, one full and, like, maybe one half of a driving day, I'm flying.
And you're talking Glacier and Yellowstone. You're talking like 3 to 4 full driving days. And there's just not enough vacation
there and
time.
Back.
So I want to liberate some of the RV owners out there. And we've said this before and we'll say it again. You know, if you find that you're not reaching some of your bucket list destinations in your RV, you might consider flying in and renting an RV, flying in and doing cabins. So for this Yellowstone trip, we are flying into Jackson Hole. We are doing National Park Lodge. We are doing campgrounds, and we are even doing a hotel for a night or two. So we're going to share the whole itinerary for our 12-day trip to Yellowstone National Park. But before we dive in and do that and tell you all the cool places we're going to stay, and we're really staying at some places I'm excited about, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go Power.
Go Power has been the industry leader for mobile solar systems and solutions since 1996. Their high-quality solar chargers, inverters, controllers, and power accessories offer a durable, dependable, and cost-effective solution for mobile power needs where grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. Go Power not only makes the best equipment, they also offer the best support. The Go Power support section on their website offers technical support, installation assistance, and answers to frequently asked questions. And their learning center will help you figure out how much solar you need, what size inverter to get, and how to boost your battery health, and so much more. There has never been a better time to add a Go Power solar system to your RV and hit the open road. And with over 1 million solar panels sold and 25 years of experience, they are a brand you can trust for your mobile power needs. To find out more, visit gpelectric.com and follow them on Instagram at GoPowerSolo.
Now, Stephanie, I drove you crazy planning this trip, and I drive you crazy planning a lot of our trips because I get hyperfixated. I get a little bit aggressive. I get in your face. I start demanding answers. I start pounding you with questions. And the first big debate we had was where to fly into.
That's not the first big debate we had.
Okay, so which was the first
one? The first big debate we had was whether we were going to do the trip that we had planned this summer that we had to cancel.
You're correct.
And we could have just had the trip. But, like, you have a couple of issues. First of all, you got, like, bored with that trip even though we never even took it. Like, you were like, oh, that's so old news or something. Like, you know.
You make me sound like a squirrel. It just, like, just gets bored really
like you
quickly.
Were like, you are a squirrel. And then on top of that, you got this idea in your head, like, oh, because now our schedules are going to be more flexible. We could go there during another time, not so hot.
We were
going
to do Las Vegas and the Grand Canyon. And I was like, well, we don't have to go in August because we're both working remotely now. We could do that trip during a more temperate time of year and not go in the heat of the summer.
Except we have 3 kids with school and sports. So I'll wait for that to happen. Well, that was your argument. But
I thought you were really on my side with that.
And now you're acting like, I didn't care enough to really argue with you
about
it.
Wes feels betrayed.
But he does. Me and the boys, we were very excited about that trip.
Wesley was like, Dad, are we going on that trip? Because we were going to rent a Class C motorhome.
Yeah.
And Wesley's a motorhome guy.
He was very excited about it.
Well, all right. I feel a little bit bad, but we'll do that trip. So then the second debate we had was where are we going to fly into and what loop are we going to do? We talked about for a while, we talked about flying into Rapid City, South Dakota, doing a huge loop around the state of Wyoming and coming back to Rapid City. That was largely because we wanted to do Devil's Tower. You really wanted to do Devil's Tower.
I didn't really want to. No, the issue is that we didn't get to Devil's Tower when we were so, so close just because of the trip.
Let's be honest.
Of course. I mean, like, isn't that the reason for most things when you're a parent? Like, it was the end of our trip. The last day, one of our kids got sick.
And we were planning on going to Devil's Tower.
So we didn't see Devil's Tower. Now, my argument is that Devil's Tower is like located in a kind of place that it's not like you pop in. So I still want to see Devil's Tower and I want my kids to. I think it's just a cool thing. And yet, like, when are you going to get back there?
I know. But so I argued against flying into Rapid City because I'm like, we're going to do this immense amount of driving to get across Wyoming just for that one or two night stop at Devil's Tower, which does look amazing.
Okay.
But that's all that's on that side of the state.
No. Okay. You're wrong. When we actually mapped it out, it wasn't that much driving. And you were like, oh, okay, yeah, this isn't
a big
deal.
Well, you have to do it twice.
The reason why – do you even remember the reason why we dropped that game plan?
I do.
Okay.
Our listeners are going to think we're crazy.
No, this isn't. This is experience talking. So we were going to stay at the Devil's Tower KOA and in a cabin.
Which is right there underneath – the tower.
And we called about cabins, or we went online or whatever, and we were looking at the cabins. Well, they only have the camping cabins, which do not have linens. And that is a rule, because we have done enough cabin travel.
We ain't flying in with linens.
I refuse to stay anywhere that doesn't have linens.
I'm shocked. They're in the middle of nowhere.
I'm in the middle of nowhere.
And I asked, I felt so embarrassed. I said, well, does anyone in the area rent linens? Because, I mean, like, if you're in a more, you know, busier area, yeah, like, you can get linens and somebody will drop them off.
There's, like, Uber linens.
She slow-talked that answer.
Yeah, she was like, dumb.
No. We are really
sorry, sir. We do not have linens.
Honestly, like that. And there was nowhere else we wanted to stay.
We looked around Devil's Tower. If there was any cool accommodations, there is nothing. So we literally, it was not that you were like, you talked me out of the drive. Because I argued for that loop. I thought it was a good one. And there was a lot of pretty driving that it would have involved too.
True.
And it was just that, honestly, we could not find a good place. And I'm not staying at the Motel 6.
That's really what the other – like, it was like the KOA, the Motel 6, or there was this ranch place that kind of looked like something out of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I saw those rooms were – and it just didn't –
I mean, the tower's off in the distance there.
Yeah.
But like at the Devil's Tower KOA, they play the Close Encounters movie, and I'm sure that you feel safe. Like, I wouldn't necessarily feel safe at the other place.
No, it was like the ranch.
The Ranch of Terror. I don't know what it was. So you then shift. Then I started talking about flying into Billings, and you were like, ixnay. Like, you were not into flying into Billings, Montana at all.
No.
And you were like, dummy, we're going to fly into Jackson Hole. Like, we're going to fly into Jackson Hole, do the Tetons, do west side of Yellowstone, east side of Yellowstone, back to Jackson Hole and home. And that is what we settled on. Do you feel like that was the right choice?
Oh, I'm totally happy with that choice. Am I going to continue to be bummed that we're not like squeezing in Devil's Tower? Like, yeah, but this is, look, I can rework a loop. No matter where we're going, I can find a good loop. Every time that's how I travel.
I get lost in loops.
I don't like to go out from A to B and then go back from B to A. I don't work like that. I like a nice loop where the whole time you're driving and seeing new things and like so.
So you plan. See, basically I tormented you and then you planned everything.
That's what you do. You torment me until
I'm complimenting you. You're like the vice president at like Road Trippers or something. You're an expert trip planner. I'm married to an expert trip planner, and she never wants to plan trips with me.
I'm the president of travel.
She's like the president of travel, and I'm like, I've got this trip planning expert. Help me. And the reason I push you, Stephanie, is because you always come up with a better plan than I do, and I'm good at this too. I think I come up with a really solid B+ plan, but then when I push you, I feel like you come up with the A++ plan. Okay, so first we are flying into Jackson Hole and we are driving right into Grand Teton National Park. And where are we going to stay for the Grand Tetons?
All right, so we are staying first when we get there at the Coulter Bay Cabins. So that is an NPS lodging site. And I'm really excited about this because we were able to get one of their like cabins with multiple rooms and sleeping areas. Like, it actually looks like it has enough space. So that's something that a family of five really struggles with. You know, the room with two beds in it is actually really crowded for a family of five.
And that's one of the complications of not taking your own RV on this type of trip, is that we do sometimes struggle to find accommodations. This cabin looks perfectly fine on the outside. It's located in a great place, but it has the sleeping for five and it looks cute and comfortable inside. So this will be a great base camp for us to do some hiking, hoping some kayaking, some photography for me in Grand Teton National Park.
They're very rustic. Like, there's no TV in the cabins. There's no Wi-Fi available near the campground.
Oh, the kids are in for a shock.
Right. So it's better that we're getting this over with at the beginning.
I don't think there's going to be Wi-Fi anywhere we're staying. All right. So then after doing the Tetons and exploring Grand Teton National Park for a few days, we're going to go up to West Yellowstone. We're staying in two places at West Yellowstone, which we normally wouldn't do, but there's a very specific reason why we're staying in two different places. So we're going to Under Canvas Yellowstone and staying in a really fancy glamping tent for two nights.
Because that's all we could afford.
Totally.
Because look, the reason why we're staying in two different places in West Yellowstone,
it was all the price,
is because you were determined to stay at an Under Canvas.
I really want to stay at Under Canvas. This is like the cool glamping, chain
and
right now.
It is expensive and it is a splurge. And there's no way we could stay there the entire time that we want to be at West Yellowstone. So we are literally staying in an expensive place and then we're hightailing it to the
more affordable cabin. And I will never on this podcast say how much we are spending per night. At Under Canvas Yellowstone. You can look for yourself.
Because people judge us when we spend $120 at like
a resort.
Can you imagine? Like everybody's, this is the funny thing. Campers crack me up. Everybody spends their money on different things. Everybody. And some people, like, you see things that they spend money on.
Oh, I've had people with $90,000 pickup trucks say, yeah. Well, why are you spending $100 a night at Massey's Landing and you got $100,000 pickup truck?
Right, and I'm driving a minivan. I'm going to splurge on Under Canvas.
I've never had leather seats in my pickup truck.
Right, exactly.
So I'm excited. And look, at Under Canvas Yellowstone and at all the Under Canvas locations, you can get a tent for mom and dad and then have a tent next door for the kids. That sounds nice and romantic, and it would never work for us.
Nope.
So we didn't book that. We booked one big tent for all of us.
Oh, and we had to pay extra for the additional cot.
And why? Because our kids, I don't care. I'm going to out them.
We have,
they're scaredy cats.
Oh, they would never stay in a separate thing.
If we got them the separate tent, they'd come
ours.
Running into our room and jump in our bed.
It wouldn't work. No. No, absolutely not.
That, I'm a little sad about that.
We'll say. So, right. So we're staying at the Fancy Pants place, but then
we'll report back on it.
Well, of course.
Under Canvas is really hip and cool right now. They got investment from like the singer from Coldplay and Jay-Z.
Do you really think it's going to be worth it?
So I really do hope that it is worth it. If it's not worth it, we'll talk about that. But it's only two nights. So if it's not worth it, it's not like it's that awful. So then after that, we are going to go and stay at one of the two KOAs on West Yellowstone. And there are two KOAs on the west side of Yellowstone. One is closer to the west entrance, and it's got a lot more amenities and a pool and a hot tub and all that stuff, and it gets good reviews. But we decided to stay at the West Yellowstone Mountainside KOA because that looks more pretty and natural, and the cabins look really nice. They're down by a creek. So I just thought we were going to go for the more natural, beautiful location as opposed to the busier, more bustling KOA. And that will be our trip on the – that'll be our stay on the west side of Yellowstone. So then what are we doing next?
All right. We're continuing on our loop. And we're going through the park to the other side, the east side, and we'll hang out in Cody for a few days. And I really wanted to fit this in because our boys, and I think a lot of kids are like this, you know, people are like, you could spend, you know, people go, how long should we spend at Yellowstone? And the purists will pipe in and be like, you could be there for 2 weeks and never see everything. Our boys will hit a serious like national park hike. They get there. They love seeing these places. But after like 4 or 5 days of like hiking and beauty and look at that and isn't that pretty, they honestly, I think they get a little burned out and that's okay. Like I don't judge them for that. Like they need a change of pace. And I think that Cody is that exact right thing. Like you've had tons of natural beauty and now here are some cowboys.
They are still young boys at this point, and to take them to a rodeo or to take them to the Buffalo Bill Museum of the American West, I think they will really, really love it because they don't want to drive and hike every single day. And
they like the kitschy stuff. Like they've always loved that, like the museums and the history and everything paired with the natural stuff. So I think that actually that's going to be a really fun way to kind of like wrap up the trip.
And everybody we know that has done Cody and done Yellowstone to the person says, if you're going to Yellowstone, don't miss Cody. Like it's like a tragic mistake. I mean, you're so close, do Cody. So we're doing Cody. Then we're going to drive back to Jackson Hole and we're going to spend two nights, God forbid, in a hotel. And because I just, you know, we want
to get a pool.
We want
the first
a pool,
time.
A hot tub. I want to just walk around downtown, grab some souvenirs, get some good food. Hopefully, you know, restaurants are open and everything's kind of back to normal at the end of August or close to it. And that's our Yellowstone trip that I'm so super excited about, compressed into 12 days. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, Stephanie, for planning this one.
Oh, I'm here for you, bud. I was telling you, just book things. I was like, I don't care. Fine. Just book things.
But then the problem is, then a month later, you're like, oh, why did you book this? Why did you book that? Right. And you second guess me.
I just point out your mistakes.
All right. We are going to come back in a second and talk about some of the resources that we're using for the trip, some of our own podcasts and some books we're looking at, et cetera, to help us get ready for the Yellowstone trip. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at RV SnapPad. Meet the world's only permanent jack pad. RV snap pads attach permanently to your RV leveling jack so you don't have to carry around blocks of wood or plastic blocks to level your RV or motorhome. Simply snap them on one time and you're all set. Now with RV snap pads, I have permanently mounted rock solid jack pads wherever I roam. I get to spend more time having fun at the campground and less time setting up. RV snap pads also help stabilize my rig because they create a larger, sturdier footprint beneath my leveling jacks. They've also just launched a whole new line of snap pads made just for travel trailer stabilizers. Head to rvsnappad.com to find out more and to check them out and to get them for your RV. Okay, so I love the fact that we can look back in our own podcast archives and we have podcasts that will help us plan a trip. So some of my favorite episodes have been the Carrie Cox episodes where she goes out west. So she's reviewed Coulter Bay Village RV Park. That's right by our cabin. So that episode we can go back and listen to, and that's going to help us prep for that time at Coulter Bay and at Grand Teton.
Yeah, her family loved that almost more, I think, than Yellowstone. Like, that was like their little magic spot on that trip.
She really did seem to like it. That they're even more than Yellowstone. We also have a review of the Cody KOA I'm going to go back and listen to with Kate Dunbar. And I just bought a National Geographic magazine completely dedicated to Yellowstone. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, and it goes over all the kind of like natural wonders of Yellowstone from more of that scientific perspective. And I just want to learn more about it. I want to learn more about Old Faithful, and I want to learn more about the geothermal hot springs and things like that. Now, for a travel guide, I bought the Moon Guide for Wyoming. That is definitely my go-to, is to get the Moon Guides for these types of big national park trips. I even texted you and said, Moon Guide or Frommer's?
Yeah. So yeah, the Moon Guides, you know, you like to sit there and read through the guides for months and months leading up to a trip. I'm like, I like dive in, get my planning done and move on. Like, I don't sit there. I think that you're more common, like as like a dreamer trip planner with a lot of our audience. They'll like really just pore over things for months and stuff. And I like... just well, in and out. No one gets hurt.
A lot of the fun is in the planning for me, and it helps me get through the winter months. And
when I like to travel.
You do. You do. When we first started dating, you introduced me to Frommer's. I had never heard of Frommer's. You were the girl with the Frommer's pocket guide in your back pocket when you went into New York City.
Yeah. No, I never would have put.
Yes,
I would.
You did.
Okay. I would never have had a travel guide in my back pocket in New York City.
I was speaking metaphorically. Oh, yes. You kept it in your backpack.
It sounded literal. I would never have had a guidebook out in New York City growing up in like on the Jersey side. Right. No, you won't do that. Well, I always did the budget travel guides that were like $50 a day, $30 a day. There were always really good ones like that for like, you know, poor people like us. Like,
well, when you were a teenager, you traveled a lot. I mean, you went to Israel, you went to Greece, all when you were like 16, 17, 18. So you totally got me into Frommer's. All right, everybody, that's our trip to Yellowstone. I hope all of you are
out
there.
Let's hope we take it.
I know.
You're going to pull this episode down if we don't end up taking it.
You know what? That would be so sad if we did a whole episode about planning a trip to Yellowstone and didn't go, look, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for 2021. I think we're turning a corner. I think we all need to kind of stick together, do what's right, and get through this and emerge into a much better spring and definitely a much better summer. And hopefully we'll be seeing all of you at the campground.
See you at the campground. A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Go Power, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and RV SnapPad.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And to join the friendliest group of RVers, join us over at the RV Atlas group on Facebook.
See you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.